Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Maura from San Diego.
Trying to figure out 10 minutes from now. My name is Maura, and I'm an alcoholic. And congratulations to the cake takers and the 90-dayer, and welcome to the newcomers. I've been so nervous. I've been so full of self-obsessed fear, So let me just tell you a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And first of all, my sobriety date is Halloween of 2003. Hi, Bob. And I've been in and out of recovery and around these rooms since 1988. I was not raised in an alcoholic home. I'm an only child. I'm a local here from San Diego, North County Coastal. And I was raised, I had a great childhood, and that did not stop me from being restless, irritable, and discontent, even as a child. Everything was wrong. My parents were wrong. I was absolutely certain that I'd been placed in the wrong home. The universe had definitely made a mistake. And, I wanted a dog. My parents didn't want to have a dog for the cleanup mess, and so I would proceed to poop in the backyard, So, I've been a problem person for a long time, And you'll be sorry, and you had it coming has been a constant theme in my life, So, by the time high school rolled around and I found alcohol, or alcohol found me, it was the solution. It made you tolerable, It made me feel warm and fuzzy and a part of, and not so irritated and on edge all the time. I became a blackout drinker within the first 3 months of drinking. And I'm 16 years old, and I drank myself into alcoholic coma and alcoholic poisoning, and I woke up in the ICU. And my parents, who are not alcoholics and have no experience around alcoholism, were terrified, I began getting involved in the mental health system. They got me therapists and psychiatrists, and I don't know if it was a voluntary commitment to asylums, but I was committed to an asylum. Now, see, I've always done well in school, and if I haven't told you that, I'm sure I will in the next 10 minutes, a lot, And I told them that, if I'm doing well in school, I should be able to do what I want on the off hours. And looking at your child in an ICU unit and you don't know if she's going to pull through the night, they didn't really see it that way. And I had plans on being a psychiatrist. And I remember very clearly when I was entering that asylum that this was going to be a wonderful experience for my future career. I had no kind of inkling that I had a problem, I had that same kind of interest in later dating criminals, more research evidently, What happened to me is that my drinking took on the huge proportions, and I got out of the, I spent a year there in the asylum. I graduated. I was the valedictorian of my high school there, and what I usually fail to tell people is that the class only had 3 students. My drinking became everything for me. It was the solution to everything, and my functioning drinking ended at age 21. And I knew I had a problem drinking. And, I had never been to an AA meeting. I had never heard about powerlessness and loss of control and unmanageability in my life. But I knew that my parents were paying for me to attend UCSD, and I'm sitting in a bar drinking and drinking and drinking. And so my friend of mine and I had an experiment. We're just going to drink one little king. We drink the one, and we look at each other, and we're like, they're little. It says little right on the bottle. So, I could not stop drinking even when I wanted to. And my solution, because I got to do something, was drugs, And my story includes a lot of drug history, and I really, really, really want to have a singleness of purpose. I'll just say that for the next 15 years, because of the drugs, it brought me out. 1 year I'm at UCSD. Well, I'm not at UCSD. 1 year, my parents are paying for UCSD. I'm drinking at the bar. The next year, they're pulling me out of a canyon, and I'm babbling about government conspiracies. I'm saying that I'm Jesus Christ. And I'm not just saying that. I'm believing it, I had lost my ever-loving mind. And I stayed gone for a long time. And they told my parents, we don't think she's ever coming back. We don't know if she's schizophrenic or manic depressive, but you should apply for Social Security for her because she'll never be able to take care of herself. So for the next 15 years, I bounced in around between rehabs, treatment centers, crisis houses, CMH, Borden Cares, rehabs, you know, and every time they'd always load you up in a van, and sometimes you guys would come to us, and I'd hear about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, the very first time somebody said I was an alcoholic, I thought, I'll quit drinking when I want to. You don't know what this stuff does for me. You know, it's my solution. And over the next 15 years, I heard people standing up here or in meetings telling snippets and pieces of my story, and I got to learn about my alcoholism, you know, and I kept coming back. You know, I've never done sobriety very smoothly. I'm a kind of a socially awkward person, and, you know, that really hasn't changed, you know, and it's like, so what, you know? Is it time for what it's like now? socially awkward, but I'm sober. I've been sober for 6 years. You know what it's like now? The big missing piece for me in coming in and out and in and out and in and out, I could do inventories, mine, yours, whatever. I did not know how to trust and rely and depend on God. I didn't know. I didn't know how to do that. You know, I had had a religious wacky-do. I was living in the canyon thinking I was Jesus, and I came in here and I looked at the steps and I thought, God, oh no, I don't want to live in the park again. You know? It took me a long, long time of coming in and out and in and out and in and out. And basically what happened 6 years ago is I tried to take my own life. I couldn't do sobriety like you could. You people trusted God. I just couldn't do it. I just didn't. And I couldn't take living the life that I was because things were really, really bad. And I tried, you know, in a hotel room. And I talked to that God and I said, I don't know who you are or where you are, but I want to come home. You know, and I woke up in an IC unit, black eyes, busted lips, staples all the back of my head. And I thought, well, there's nothing left for me to do, God, but you and me. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and follow directions. And that's what makes the difference. That's what's made the difference for these past 6 years, is that I don't know how to do this alone. I need you, you know, and I follow directions, and it doesn't matter how I feel about it. And don't ask me what I think about it either, because I'm liable to tell you, and it doesn't matter. You know, my sponsor, I didn't go up to someone and say, I want to be a 10-minute speaker. You know, my sponsor said, well, you know, I'm text. She's a big texter. How about doing a 10-minute speaking? And I just ignored her. You know, so I get this another text. How about doing a 10-minute speaking? And it's like, yeah, sure. You know, what I do is I suit up and I show up. You know, I trust God. I do a lot of service. You know, I do H&I. I go into the unit where I was incarcerated at because I don't ever want to forget that that's where I could be. You know, so thank you very much.